are unaccustomed as I am to public speaking. Seriously, that's a really tough act to follow. They escaped the risk of president. Tonight I'm an after dinner speaker, and that feels a little different for me. It's kind of tough to speak after dinner, especially if you're a guest someplace. You really have to say something. You know, you've all been invited someplace, and after the dinner, you have to say something. It reminds me of a preacher I heard about who, after he spoke, was invited back to his family's house on Sunday, and the wife had prepared a whole meal, and the family all enjoyed it together. And when it was all over, he really wanted to say something, and but he kept coming up with, inside, that was a really good dinner. But he kept saying, that sounds stupid. You can't get all of them to say that was a really good dinner. You have to say something more than that. So he just said, well, I'll just start off with that and just do the best I can. He said, well, you know, that was a really good dinner, such as it was. And then he realized, oh, good dinner, such as it was. Well, I just blew that joke. I just, I'll tell you, aren't you here at the right way now? Yeah. This is why they don't invite me to be after dinner speaker. I just say, he said, this is a really good dinner, what there was of it. And he realized that wasn't right. He said, well, there was plenty of it, such as it was. No, huh? Well, maybe next year, Grace McGee said to me sometime during the week, well, you really know how to lay guilt on people. And I guess that's a lot to do with my emphasis in my ministry, is bringing a kind of application of God's truth to our lives to bring about a certain amount of guilt and conviction so that we can take action in our lives and change the things that are displeasing to God. And on this last night, rather than make you squirm or crawl any longer, I just thought I would leave you with something positive and something victorious just for a few minutes. And actually, we get the reason to be for this from the various seven churches in Asia, plus the Thessalonians thrown in. I got thrown in on the Thessalonians that were thrown into the seven churches of Asia. And we made a really gallant effort last night, but our little centerpiece, I guess, just didn't satisfy the taste of the judges. But to all you bullies from Smyrna and Pergamum and whoever else, congratulations on your success. From the Thessalonians and the Laodiceans down at the bottom. The Laodiceans were doomed from the start with their name, and the Thessalonians didn't even belong in the group, so no wonder we finished at the bottom. The Ephesians, they lost their first love, and they were near the bottom too, and I guess it was all the people that had a struggle with Satan in the synagogue or whatever you had there. You did the good job, whatever that means. I don't know. To each of the seven churches, there was a promise to overcomers. To the Ephesian church, was written, to those who overcome, those who are the overcomers, I'll give a spiritual food in heaven. To the overcomers at the church of Smyrna were granted a crown of life. To the overcomers at Pergamos, all kinds of hidden spiritual blessings were promised. Also a divine food and a new name. To those at the church of Thyatira, Those who overcame were promised new kinds of spiritual illumination and spiritual power. To the church of Sardis, to those who overcame, were promised a robe of righteousness and heavenly recognition. To those of the church of Philadelphia who overcame, were promised that they would become spiritual pillars that bore a divine inscription. And even to the church of Laodicea, to those who overcame, there was promised divine fellowship, and that they someday would have spiritual thrones. And I guess the church of Thessalonians, there were some overcomers there, and they probably got promised something. Promised that if they worked a little harder on their centerpiece, they might have scored a little higher or something. But in any case, the thought that I would like to leave with us tonight as we come to the end of our evening and virtually to the end of our week, the thought that I'd like to leave with all of us is that we are overcomers. We're on the winning team. And it's exciting to be on the winning team. In these churches, there was a certain amount of competition this week among the churches. But in the real body of Christ, in which we're all a part, there really shouldn't be any kind of competition. Because instead of us being divided into winners and losers, as we've experienced this week, we're all going to be on the winning team. That is, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. I don't know about you, you know, but in life you win some and you lose some. And sometimes you really get kicked around. But it's exciting to know that someday we're going to sit like this, not just here and excited about a camp experience, but sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and worship Him and glorify Him. And I have no idea what that experience is going to be like. But I do know it's going to be exciting. I do know that instead of it being an everlasting experience, something that goes on forever, which I would imagine would get kind of boring, it's going to be an eternal experience, something where there's no sense of time passing, something that we just can't really enter into, that we'll just feel like continual winners without the sense of passing of time, and something that we can really look forward to and really be excited about. And it's not just that we're going to be on the winning time when Christ comes back and takes us out of this mess. It's not exactly hold the fort for I am coming. But Christ wants us to have victory even now based upon the fact that He is the ultimate victory. Satan desires to sift us like wheat, Jesus told Peter. But He said, don't worry, I've prayed for you. And in the New Testament, we're instructed as Christians not to be concerned because Christ has overcome the world. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And further instruction reminds us, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. And so, the world system, we know, will eventually decay and collapse and fall apart. But we're not going to be part of that. I shared this illustration last year. And forgive me for those of you who heard it before, but it's very, very appropriate and feels very exciting to me every time I think about it. And that's the illustration that I've experienced from time to time in watching a major sporting event on television. I don't know how it is in your part of the country, but sometimes, because I live near New York and the New York things are so successful compared to other parts of... But sometimes the winning New York teams get blacked out of television in championship series. And so I've had the experience of riding my car and hearing the New York Knickerbockers win a championship, or the Yankees, or something of that nature. And I'm thinking specifically now of a basketball tournament or a college tournament or professional basketball, and knowing the score and enjoying the game on the radio when it was rather exciting and kind of a nail-biting occasion, getting down to the final basket only to be happy and overjoyed that my team, the team that I had rooted for, had won. And it was just such a those who have the experience to go through it. And then to get home an hour later, turn on the television set and discover to your surprise that there's a delayed telecast of the game. And in the excitement of winning, to see that now on television it's still the second quarter, and all of a sudden to realize in the second quarter, I forgot all about it, my team was behind by 20 points. I almost turned the radio off. It was so discouraging at that point. And when they came back and closed the gap and eventually pulled it out and won, it was so exciting. But now, I could watch television with a whole different standpoint. Because now, as I watched our team fall further and further behind, I just sat there and snickered and giggled, and I was getting right into the whole thing. Yeah, go ahead, make some points. It's all right, we're just falling further behind. 10, 12, 14, no way, you know, everything's going to be all right. And what a feeling it was to watch that game. As if there were people there that didn't know, but I knew. You know, I had some special information. And to watch them come back and narrow the gap, 14, 12, 10, 8, 6, 4, 2, tie the score and win the game. You know, as I experienced it that second time on television, no nerves, no anxiety, no insecurity, no worry, just sit back, enjoy it, and watch it. You know, and I think there's a spiritual lesson there for us. Sometimes we go through such struggles and anxieties and insecurities and worries and inferiority and guilt and everything else because we just fail to focus that we're on the winning team. We get so carried away with the fact that we're being conformed into the image of Christ, and we see what a painful process it is and how difficult it is. We get so struggling with the fact that God is working all things together for our good, and we see that as all the struggles and the pains, that we fail to realize that being conformed to the image of Christ and all things being worked together for good has its really glorious positive sides as well. And the reason that that can be so meaningful and blessed for us is that we must just kind of step out of our existence from time to time. And I'm not talking about any kind of satanic thing where you fly around and look at yourself, but I mean just kind of step out for a moment and look at yourself struggling and look at all the pains that you have and all the conflicts that you have and all the difficulties you have and just kind of see yourself in heaven already saying, hey look, I know how it's all going to work out. You're on the winning team. You don't have to be troubled by all this pain and difficulty. It's alright, you can go through it. And I think that's the thought that I just want to leave with us in closing tonight. When we hear rather heavy ministry that convicts us, and when God brings things to our attention about a conscience that's not clear, and we've got so many things we've got to work out in our lives with our families and our friends and our employers and our jobs and our school and our churches, sometimes it can just get to be such a struggle and such a difficulty, and we lose sight of the joy, lose sight of the victory. We are overcomers. Every one of us who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is on the winning team. And I just want us to just enjoy that and praise God for that tonight. Also, a final word, a word for those of you whom I addressed last Saturday evening and have kind of ignored in the meantime. Those of you who may not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior yet, I understand that there are some of you who have been brought here by friends who've kind of been just taking the whole thing in all week. You've been maybe exposed to Christians, to the Christian way of life, to some biblical beliefs. You've watched us. You've watched us succeed and you've watched us fail. You've watched our lifestyle, but we're offering you not a lifestyle, but we're offering you a life, an eternal life that's found in a person. And if any of you here do not know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, I would just urge you to speak to anyone and get that matter straightened out. I was a 17-year-old guy when I first found Christ. I found him at a camp. I was there. I really didn't know whether I knew the Lord in a personal way or not. I knew there were people around that seemed to have a different kind of relationship with God than I had. I knew that. Although I kind of believed in God, at least to the best of my knowledge, I believed in him. I certainly wasn't any atheist. I had a tough time grappling with the idea that I was a sinner, that there was really something wrong with me, although I knew I wasn't perfect, and I struggled with these things. But on that night, and it was a Saturday night, just like this, on that night, I first acknowledged for the very first time in my life that I was a sinner, that I wanted to be saved, and I stood up in a meeting, something like this, and I just acknowledged to everybody that I was accepting Jesus Christ as my Savior. I don't know if anybody would have the courage to do that here. I'll tell you, and I could kind of offer this as an inducement. A whole bunch of people came up to me afterward and hugged me and, you know, got excited and cried, and, you know, and that may be an inducement, but in actuality, and I didn't know that was coming, but in actuality, what was expressed to me was love and concern and prayer that had gone up before God on my behalf. And I really don't know what I'd be today as a 43-year-old man. I don't know what I'd be doing. I don't know who I'd be married to. I don't know what kind of kids I'd have. I don't know what belief system I'd be part of. I'd know I wouldn't be standing here. And I'm just thrilled with emotion and joy for my own conversion and my own growth and what God has done in my life. And nothing would make me happier than to see some young person just trust Jesus Christ tonight. I didn't really even intend to say these things, but I began at the beginning of the week with a word to those who may not know him. And I want to close with that same word to those of you who may not know Jesus in a personal way. All of the deeper teachings that we've had during the week about commitment, about obedience, and about love, you can't work those principles in your life without the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't work. You may get some semblance of success here and there applying a biblical principle now and then. But even if you were to improve the quality of your life in this life, and even if God were to bless you for your knowledge of certain biblical principles and to use them, it would be the ultimate defeat, not the ultimate victory. For you would discover through all of your efforts, through all your hard work, that you would be on the losing team. And when the instant replay was played for your life, instead of God commending you for all of your fine effort, trying to be a good person, trying to live by biblical principles, he would have to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. You refused to come my way. You came through your works of righteousness. You came through your deeds. You came through your goodness. And it's not good enough. You can only come to me through my Son. The Lord Jesus died for you. He died for me." And I would just urge each of us tonight to renew our commitment to him. If we know him as Savior, to make him the Lord. If we know him as Lord, to let him look, to let him examine the areas of our life where our lordship, where his lordship is rather flimsy. And if we don't know him, won't you receive him tonight? Won't you just bow your head and just ask him to come into your life? Just ask him to change your life. You don't have to have some magic prayer. God knows your heart. Just admit to him that you're a sinner. Admit to him that you've come to the end and that you want him to take over your life. That you want him to be the person who cleans up your life, who changes your life, who has paid the price for your sin. So that when you stand before God, instead of offering God what you've done, you would offer God what he has done. And you would just tell God that Jesus is your Savior. He's paid the price for your sin. He's wiped your record clean. And even though you don't deserve what he's offered, you trust and believe and rely on that finished work. Won't you tell God that tonight, right now, as we close in prayer? And I'd just like all of us, Christians especially, to pray for any who just might want to receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now. And I just trust that somebody, by the grace of God, just might feel an indication, for the first time perhaps, to trust Christ or to renew that commitment to Him. Let's just spend a few moments in silent prayer. Lord, we experience your silence, and we know that your Spirit can work in our hearts at silent times when we confront ourselves with our own lives. Our Father, we would rejoice as all heaven rejoices when someone acknowledges that he or she is a sinner and needs to be saved, needs to experience eternal life, forgiveness, freedom. Father, if your Holy Spirit has drawn someone to yourself tonight, we would just be very joyful to know about it and to rejoice with that new brother or sister who will spend all eternity with us praising your name, being on the winning team. Our Father, for any who have struggled with that commitment and who have put off that important decision, we pray that you'd give no rest. For any who have received Christ this week, we pray that they might just have the courage and the freedom to share their new commitment with us. Our Father, for those of us who know you, you've been speaking to us about deepening our commitment. Lord, I want to deepen mine, and I just trust that each of us here might, by the power of your Spirit, reach new discernment about our commitment with you. May we each have an opportunity to share with one another what you're doing in our lives. Lord, those of us who know you in a personal way are going to really rejoice as we continue this good fellowship around your table, where we remind ourselves once again of your finished work at the cross of Calvary. We just thank you, Lord, that we can continue this fellowship. Bless all of those who made it possible for us tonight. We thank you for each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.